Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a Bethany podcast where we have the privilege of digging deeper into Sunday's messages. I am Tammy DeLau and I'm joined with Bill Leonardson. He is one of our elders here, and Pastor David Baxley, who will be giving our message on Sunday. We are going to be digging into John chapter 13. That's a fun passage, I think a familiar passage for us, where we see Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, and we get to see more of the antics of who Peter is. We get to see Judas, I know you're going to challenge us to possibly see ourselves in both of those gentlemen. So why don't you take it away and help us march this?
Yeah. I think one of the key things as we look at this passage, John sets it up so well, actually in verse one, as he sets it up with describing Jesus. He says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And he's setting the tone for everything we're about to read, especially, actually, even over the next couple chapters. But I think it really is an emphasis of what 13 is all about, which is to understand what it is to love and be an active part of the kingdom of God. Like, I really think that's what, like, we're about to see happen here. That the idea of the, and this is what we see in Peter. So we're going to, and we're going to again hit this more on Sunday, but the tension of Peter begins to have this conversation with Jesus. As Jesus comes to Peter and he begins to start to wash the disciples' feet, and all of a sudden he gets to Peter and Peter's like, no, you can't do this. What's Peter really doing? He's saying, this does not make sense to what I think things should be like. This is not how I would see a ruler truly acting, even if it was loving. This is not how even a loving ruler should be acting. And there's this heavy tension that exists as Peter and Jesus begin to have this argument. And yet Jesus has this really hard statement as he comes to him in that. And he says, yeah, but Peter, you have to let me do this. Like, and he says this statement. I actually want to hang out on this one a little bit because I don't get to hang out as much on Sunday. But he hangs out this and he says, if you don't let me do this, you can't have a part of me. You can't have a part of what I
don't have a share.
Yeah, you don't have a share. Thank you. Right. In what we're doing. And that's seems like such an intense statement. Like, unless you let me wash your feet here. And I think what he's doing is he's saying, unless you recognize how different this is going to be, you're not gonna be able to be a part of this kingdom. Because to live in this kingdom is a different way of living. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of understanding love. It's a different way of understanding, in this case, leadership and even authority or whatever else, whatever else you want to put in there. And I've really been challenged with that lately. Tammy, we went to the EFCA Theology Conference. And I think one of the biggest takeaways that we walked away with as our staff team was the challenge that we too often have let a secular or worldly definition that Peter would have been coming from as well of how what we're supposed to love and how things are supposed to look in the church give us the values for what the church should be instead of Jesus. And I think that's what we see an example of that right here. Jesus is contending with Peter and the rest of the disciples and with Judas. And we saw that back in chapter 10 with what the real kingdom of God should look like for those that say they love God. And let's say they're going to love each other.
Well, and it's just a huge challenge. I mean, I think you're going to speak to just how we even have a hierarchy of religion and of religious people. And so they've got the Romans, they've got kings. This is so different what Jesus is asking, you know, it's like so different.
And even the Pharisees. Pharisees elevated themselves above people as well.
I want to push back a little bit on your statement about what you learned at the EFCA conference in Chicago was that we have allowed the world to set some of the conditions or some that framework of the world has crept into the church. I completely agree when we talk about the evangelical church, but the church, the broad church, have contributed to their own demise because we have tried to be something, and I'm not talking about evangelical church, but the other denominations where not only has the world crept in, the church has tried to make Christ palatable and that truth more palatable, and so they've contributed to their own demise. So now instead of coming to church like we do on Sunday morning and we hear the truth, if we go to some other churches, denominations unnamed, we might hear a whole host of social issues. So the churches melded themselves into the world. like I just said, I think it's worse than the world creeping in. I think the church has gone and tried to
invite them.
We're like you.
Yeah,
no, we're like you.
That's
we're not that
well,
bad.
Just so yeah. You know, that was one of the things they said at the conference too. So that's a different conversation. But you, yeah. David, you're going. Go ahead, Rory.
Well, and that's so true because you're saying speak truth. But as David is writing his sermon and we're seeing key statements, oh, yes. We're like, oh man, David, will that shut people down and they won't even listen to you? And so
that feels so unloving to say that in this message on love.
And so as you're saying that, you and I are guilty of it even with our brother David. Does that make sense? That I like totally.
Someone finally said it. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. So,
yet at the same time, there is that balance. Like, it's hard to hear. It's hard to receive. But is it hard because we've believed lies? Is it really easier than we make it? There's just a surrender that we're so angsty, you know?
Well, and I talk about this when I talk about Peter a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of these comments I throw out there, but there's something that God is really challenging me a lot with. And I think it's something we're reflecting on too, even in our own church, is the kingdom of God and the church of God should not look like the kingdoms of this world, mm-hmm. or even the organizations of this world. Mm-hmm. They are built on a model that is not based on what the kingdom of God is based off. Mm-hmm. They're not the same. They don't have the same end goals. They don't have the same end values. Mm-hmm. There was a comment made at the conference that I thought was really good. No, I'm sorry. This is a book I was reading. It wasn't even at the conference. It was a book I was reading on discipleship. He said that us as church leaders, we have gotten more to Business Weekly. Mm-hmm. Than we have to God daily. Mm-hmm. And that was a good challenge for me. And I say that to say is because what Jesus is doing, he's saying, and John opens up with this, and in verse 3, he says, all right, God's got everything to Jesus. Jesus has it all, right? And Jesus knows it. And he's going to finish what he's doing. He's going to go back to God. But God sent him here to finish this out like this. And what is the one that God has given everything to do? He comes to these guys. He says, all right, I'm going to do something. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hate what I'm about to do. Because it's going to make no sense to you because I want you to get, you're seeing everything wrong. And he goes to him, he takes off their sandals and he wipes their dirty, disgusting feet, which I even mentioned in my notes this week, like disgusting doesn't even, we have no concept how probably disgusting this was, right? Parker hit that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he says, and this is what I'm telling you to do likewise. Mm-hmm. I want you to go and do what I'm doing. And then what is this ultimate in command? He's saying like, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to act. And he comes back and summarizes all of this. And in verse 34, he's like, a new command I give you. Mm-hmm. Love one another just as I have loved you. And I've set the example of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. It's not the way the world thinks. It's putting yourself, it's humbling yourself. It's saying, I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to meet you where you're at. And I'm gonna do what it takes, not based off what I deserve or what I want, but based off what I know you need and what accomplishes God's desires for the kingdom. And then he says, and by this, when you love like that, then everyone will know you are my disciples.
As you're talking, my brain is thinking two things, and I want to jump in and stop you because I'm like, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to forget.
All right, always do
but,
that.
But the first thing I was thinking is, as Jesus is washing their feet, first of all, that's awkward, but for them to realize how dirty their feet are, it's like, it's such a revealing thing of their need. You know, I mean, as someone is touching your feet, cleaning your feet, getting the yuck out of your toenails, whatever Jesus was doing, I don't know.
Not too graphic.
Not too graphic, I know. Well, and I know we talked about this. I say to my husband, Andy, I love you, honey, but when you have old man fungus toenails, I cannot cut them. Like, so I just can't even imagine that Jesus is doing this. But as he's doing it, and as they're surrendering to that, they get a bird's eye view of how needy they are as that's happening. So what a beautiful gift. But then the other thing that I'm thinking of is, especially we're Bethany Evangelical Free Church, and we are all about the evangelism, and we want to draw people to Jesus. And I know the verses that say, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And I know the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. those verses are there, but how many one another verses are there in Scripture mm-hmm. where we are told to love one another? And I think sometimes it's easy to go out and love the child that we don't know, but for me to love my brothers and sisters within this church, it's hard because I see their yuck and I see their deception mm-hmm. and I see my selfishness. And so what Jesus is asking of them, to love one another, to love their brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. that is a challenge for us today at mm-hmm. Bethany. And I think you're going to do that. Like, are we choosing love?
Well, I was just going to say, that's mm-hmm. David's responsibility on Sunday to
Jesus. Just making note.
No pressure.
In case you were in doubt, that's your instruction for Sunday. You have to explain that truth to us. Jesus did a literal act. And I like mm-hmm. what you said a few minutes mm-hmm. ago. He said, Jesus meets us where we're at. Mm-hmm. Well, think about what we've gone through with John so far. And mm-hmm. and I love this. Jesus meets the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. The woman caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. Martha. Mm-hmm. Those are three that come to mind very quickly. And think of Christ's response in those situations. He met them he didn't even criticize Martha mm-hmm. for her behavior. Mm-hmm. He said, Mary chose a better thing. Mm-hmm. He could have criticized a woman caught in adultery. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. You know, and he just had this very honest relationship, this honest conversation with the mm-hmm. the woman at the well. And so we have this dirty physical act, but it represents a spiritual truth. It represents a truth about how we need mm-hmm. to meet people where they're at. Mm-hmm. And that's can get mm-hmm. really dirty. Mm-hmm.
And if we really want to get really practical, you know, I grew up in the church, mm-hmm. you know, I've been in full-time ministry at Still Level for 21, 22 years almost. And I was a pastor's kid. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've seen mm-hmm. like the dirtiness, as mm-hmm. it were.
You're not surprised by the dirtiness.
Yeah. And you know, mm-hmm. I remember in my last church and I watched several people come on staff and within 2 years want to leave staff. They love their staff team. What they didn't like is what they saw in the church because mm-hmm. they're just like, there's no love. Mm-hmm. They're like, I didn't realize how unloving the church was until I came on staff. Mm-hmm. And that broke my heart mm-hmm. here at the time. I was like 26, 27 years old.
I want to scream, may it never be.
Yeah, may it never be. And I think that's the tension. There's the image that comes to my mind is I feel like the greatest challenge of this is we cannot stand in the middle of our worship centers and say, amen. Yes, that's what Jesus says to go do. And sing our favorite worship song, and our favorite hymn, and uh-huh. whatever that moment is. Or even more than that, go to our good Friday morning, Tuesday morning Bible studies, whatever uh-huh. it might be, and uh-huh. be like, all about the word mm-hmm. and then call up and get mad at our brothers and sisters because I don't like the way they did something mm-hmm. to send someone a nasty email because I don't like the way they mm-hmm. they did that thing mm-hmm. and or whatever, you know, whatever it might be, like or even to sit over here and talk because the way that person walked in, I don't think they're dressed right for church mm-hmm. you know like whatever it might be mm-hmm. that is not loving mm-hmm. that is there's no kindness. Mm-hmm. There's no gentleness. There's no patience. There's a lifting of myself above them, mm-hmm. which Jesus was trying to say, put yourself below everyone else. That's mm-hmm. love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't see yourself as greater than anybody. See yourself below everybody right. for the mm-hmm. sake of the gospel, for the sake of love. And mm-hmm. I think that's what we're really contending with in the body of Christ mm-hmm. on a daily basis is the idea of this is what Peter was wrestling with. Mm-hmm. I am righteous enough. I get it. Mm-hmm. And even enough to where Peter would correct Jesus because Jesus didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was super challenged when you and I've had some conversations this week that when Jesus explains he needs to do this, Peter doesn't sit down and humbly take off his shoes, but he looks at Jesus and, I mean, exclaims never. Like mm-hmm. that's, we really do want to do it our way. So Andy and I do not have family that live close. And so as we've gone through crisis of children, as children have been sick or born with heart conditions, we have been blessed by the love of brothers and sisters here at Bethany. And so there have been people to watch our children or bring us to Rochester to meet the helicopter that Samuel is on, our last born child, or make us meals. I know that is spoken to both of our families that they see the love that our body has for us here. And that's a curious thing in a world that's so self-absorbed and only thinks about themselves. And so, yes, I know we do need to go and do all of those things, but does a lot of our evangelism happen as we are loving well? The world is seeing that love and they're drawn to what's different there. That's a love I've never seen. So I don't know. What do you think of that? Did you disagree? Because you've got to look on your face.
No, okay. I don't disagree with that at all. I'm actually reminded, though, I think, as I think about some of this, some of the self-identity that we've brought into the world, is I think there's two sides. There is such an inward focus, but it wasn't loving focus. It was inwardly focused to make things the way we wanted them to be at church. Okay. Or we protected church we wanted it to be. And then we had these wars of generations of people because things were changing. People didn't like it. And the church was splitting up and falling apart, and the outside world was watching that. So then the next generation went and said, all right, well, we're going to actually do loving things. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say, and I say it this way because this is what I witnessed a lot of people in my generation, screw you, church. You guys are just a bunch of angry hypocrites instead of there. So we're going to go love the world. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go over here. You know what they say? They're like, hey, man, I love Jesus, but I sure don't like the church, so don't identify me with those people. Mm-hmm. But you know what they did at the same time? You know what they said? They disparaged the body of Christ. They disparaged his bride. And they showed just as much contentment that was wrong toward each other as those that the generation before that they felt showed them contentment because they were different.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I get in these conversations on these podcasts or other conversations, especially in with Grow Group, I feel like it's spring and the ice is thin. And I'm skating out on it here, but you know, kind of what I think I see going on oftentimes in the church is that each generation, and this is not flattering, each generation has their own, what I call generational arrogance.
Yeah,
is that, that's a good word. We think we figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and,
a good word.
And when we do that, and we don't have grace for when I, you know, as being a little bit older than some, when I don't have grace for the millennials or the Gen Xers or, and understand, then we have these contentious conversations about the elements in the church that we don't like. And oftentimes it's music. I know that that's just talking. Where's the love there? Where's the grace? Where's the humility? So we camp out in we stake out our territory.
And what we do is we do what Peter, the lens of which Peter saw things, is we elevate ourselves based off what we think should lift us up as a position. And I mentioned this in the message, or I'll mention this in the message, but these are the things we tend to elevate. It depends on where you're at in the generational cycle, right? Or where you're at in your life even. It could be, I serve the most. I give the most. I'm really committed. I just joined the church. I've been here the longest. Well, I'm out there serving the least of these. Well, I'm sitting the kids with the nursery. Like we find our ways to elevate ourselves because we are creating our own version of righteousness to which defends us to love ourselves more than loving someone else. And that is what I think the world sees.
I don't want the world to see that. So you think primarily that's what the world sees? Do you think it's possible for the world to see different as we behave like Jesus asked us to do?
Yeah. I want to jump in here, though.
Okay.
The world can see that. I think the greatest harm is that we see it amongst ourselves.
No, really, it is.
I could say this is hyperbole. I don't care what the world sees. I mean, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what we see amongst ourselves. And we get...
And the friendly fire we have towards
a really
one
bad combination is ignorance and arrogance. Okay, so and I'll give you an example. I think of my own ignorance and my own arrogance. So when we've done fundraisers in the past here at the church, I've talked to those who were more senior than me, and they're so committed to following Christ and being part of this church and supporting this church that when we do a fundraiser, They want to step forward, okay? But at the same time, I've heard those who are senior of me years ago, they're nobody senior of me now.
Like, who are these people, Bill?
But they will complain about, do you know what they're asking? And they talk about being a single income or no, you know, we're retired by, you know. And in my ignorance and arrogance, I kind of judge them, okay? So I'm 70 years old now. I have a single income. I'm retired. And I mean, this is just being real. I'm really concerned about what's going on in Europe right now. That's Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I hope my people appreciate my concerns about that. Mm-hmm. Much better than I appreciated the concerns of mm-hmm. of those who had to walk a similar path 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's what we should be about in the church, but we mm-hmm. don't. We can be really judgy about those who mm-hmm. hold a different opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what it is, and I like how you spoke to this, because this is where I think Jesus is doing this in this section. John begins with, he loved his own. Mm-hmm. And he's coming back and saying, this is how people will know that you love me, is how you love my own. Mm-hmm. How you love each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you're right about that. Man, if we can't love each other in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. it really doesn't matter what the world thinks, because we'll have no health to which
we have even no voice.
A broken family mm-hmm. has no ability mm-hmm. to figure out how to help the other broken families.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they're broken. Mm-hmm. They haven't gotten through this yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, if when we are within our own family of God, broken because of our differences, because of our lack of ability to say, I'm going to just put myself under you. I'm going to keep putting myself under you. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, and Bill, I think you and I have talked about this, you know, as we're all getting older, mm-hmm. You know,
even you have a birthday tomorrow, a big one.
I do. Yep. Yes. That's very exciting.
If I could sing, we'd sing him happy birthday.
That's, thank God. All right. But you know, as we're getting older, and I remember mm-hmm. what my perspective was, you know, in my 20s, and I remember what my perspective was as a teenager, and mm-hmm. and I watched all this, you know, as growing up, and mm-hmm. and as I'm getting older, you know, one of the things I'm realizing more and more, and Bill, you've said this too, and as the oldest one in this group by, you know, by 2 years, and is that I think that for the older of us, the older we get, the more we are called to die to ourselves for the younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
whoa.
Like I think the example I see in scripture is those who have walked the faith longer,
mm-hmm.
you should have a maturity to know how to wash the feet better.
Mm-hmm.
The more you have been serving Jesus should tell you know how to serve others better. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be the more you've walked the faith, I have more to hold over people's head.
And we should have more awareness that as we like to say, this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. It is a long horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes we get into trouble when we see the horizon is short and we got to do this right now, right mm-hmm. now, right now. Mm-hmm. And I have the perspective of age, right? Say, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we talk about birth order in our families? Because the parenting mm-hmm. Emphasis is different.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair to say?
I think so.
You know,
my first two were guinea pigs, bless their hearts. I've apologized more than a human should have to. So, but yeah, it does change your perspective.
And the third one should say, oh, mom, thank you for being so good.
Yes, absolutely. So
mm-hmm. I think as we reflect on what is an application, though we're all called to love. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I believe you all are. You know, I think, and even for grow groups, you know, we have grow groups that are stage of life grow groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would put this to mm-hmm. all of our grow groups that are, would be maybe in the top half of our grow groups versus the bottom half. We got mm-hmm. young singles, we got college, mm-hmm. we've got young mm-hmm. families, we've got older families, we've got empty nesters, we've got retired. Mm-hmm. And ask yourself, like, if I'm truly this one that has walked with Jesus for so long,
mm-hmm.
do I reflect that much more how I'm washing the feet of everyone else in the church?
Mm-hmm. The maturity that
you have there. Right. Because that is the evidence of maturity. The mm-hmm. evidence is not what they're going to know you're really good at Christian because you've got more Bible studies on your belt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because I've got more Bible
and
verses.
I can throw memorized. A few Greek words
out. Yes. And then I can throw some of those Greek words out, right? Like, mm-hmm. like those aren't the contentious things that Jesus says, they'll know you are mine.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are supposed to help us love better.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are supposed to help us be more mature mm-hmm. so that we walk this better, so that if we're truly like Jesus, we're washing each other's feet even more, so much that as mm-hmm. younger people are coming up in their faith, and I say younger, they could be 45 but still brand new in their faith,
right.
Okay, so mm-hmm. younger in their faith, that's both going to be age and just in their faith itself, are coming up in the faith, that the older can say, like Jesus said, do what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to want to watch me
mm-hmm.
because of how well I love like Jesus.
Paul said that too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
and, I am your example.
And that's what, if we talk about this, there's tons of polls right now how young people are leaving the church.
I know.
And what they're leaving the church for is what they would define as a lack of love.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, some of it is they don't understand love. I just want to really clarify that. There is that tension out there.
And do we understand? I mean, how much have you and I, well, you and I and Bill, even today, talked about love and what love is?
Because if you want to know how to wash someone's feet, it's going to reflect in how kind you are. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what it looks like to wash each other's feet. Mm-hmm. Keeps no record of wrong. Mm-hmm. It lifts you up more than me. Mm-hmm. It says patient. That I'm going to be gentle. I'm patient when what you're doing doesn't make sense to me. And I even am battling with my frustration because that's not the way I'd like things to be done. Or when a change happens in the church and it's like, yeah, that's not the way I'd want to see things happen, but I'm patient because the kindness of God. And even if I think that person's wrong, I recognize that I wash people's feet by showing the kindness of God as Romans calls us to, because that would bring them to repentance anyways. Like, this is the message of what Jesus is bringing.
Right. Mm-hmm. The keeps no record of wrong is huge. Mm-hmm. I think we keep records. So, yeah.
Well, the world has taught us what the definition of love is.
Right.
So we start with that as a foundation, which is...
a feeling. We think it's a feeling.
Well, it's built on sand. Because it's not...
So what is the world's definition of love? Let's define that then. What is it that we're contending against?
Well, it's shallow. It's a, as you say, it's a feeling which can be fickle. Mm-hmm. But
I think it's self-preserving.
Okay.
I'd say the secular narrative of love is self-preserving. Mm-hmm. It's the idea of I love myself first so I can love others better. Mm-hmm. That's a very strong narrative I hear. Mm-hmm. Is as I love myself and I care for myself and I remove toxic people in my life, then I'll be able to love better. Mm-hmm. And it's a self-preserving. Jesus was self-sacrificing. His definition of love was, going to be fun for me.
So what you're saying, my love is others, really is a love of self.
I think so.
I love you, but I'm the object of the benefit.
Yes, right. That's exactly. I think often love is through the lens of I'm loving because of what I want to get. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jesus was, I'm loving because of what I know God has called me to give.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're so deceived that we don't see that. Mm-hmm. I love because of what I get. I think we're blind to that.
I had a good friend challenge me on that. He just this past week or last week, whenever we were having that conversation, and he's running the camera right now, Josh. We were talking about this. He says, be careful that we don't walk into transactional love. Mm-hmm. Meaning I'm loving because then I would expect you to love me back. And so if I give you this love, then I would expect you to give me this love.
Wasn't it the way it works?
Yeah, exactly, right?
So we use love as a currency.
That's right. We use love as a currency. And therefore, that's why
that should make a slide, David.
And we all throw down our currencies. We throw down, like, whether it's, and so we use love as a currency, but all this is about currencies, whether it's what, this is why you should for me. This is why you should for me, because I've done this and I've done this. Mm-hmm. Man, that's not, like, Jesus is like, only contention Jesus has, because I'm God. Mm-hmm. And none of you are even close to me, and I'm willing to put myself underneath you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then the rest of you have no reason why you should not.
Right.
Because none of you can even compare to me. Mm-hmm. Should all be putting yourself under everyone else.
So the love that Jesus is showing in the washing of the feet and setting that example for us is a love that humbles himself, even though he is the creator of the world. He humbled himself, and we lift others up. That's what love is.
And Jesus washed the feet of Peter, who we knew was going to eventually deny, but also come back in love. So we can come back to that. And he washed the feet of Judas.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't even gotten to Judas.
Who would completely reject him.
Mm-hmm.
There was no transactional love in that.
Yeah, he could have dipped the bread, had him leave, washed the feet.
Yeah, I mean, afterwards. He could have done the order. Yeah. Jesus picked washing Judas's feet first. Mm-hmm. And then sending them out.
when I think of when we do this and I'm like, oh man, if I was doing a sermon, I would say, that's the part that amazes me is that they weren't all like, oh, he gave him the bread. He's the bad guy. He had walked with them. He believed them. He held their money. Yeah. They didn't even get it. So that shocks me, some point.
When it comes to Judas, this is something I feel convicted of. And I think I would hope that in God's grace and mercy, but his kindness, there's conviction for all of us in this to recognize when what kept Judas from loving Jesus was because he loved himself. Mm-hmm. And to recognize all of us have the potential more likely to be
and
Judas.
That's what you shared, Bill.
Than even Peter. Mm-hmm. Like, we really have the potential to be Judas. Like, we should have a as Paul said, we working this out with some fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. If we really say, I want to love, I think we really got to recognize it is very easy because we do love ourselves so much, mm-hmm. right? This is the nature of sin. This is where sin began, mm-hmm. right? Loving God versus loving self. And Judas chose to say, I'm going to choose self. And because Jesus did not do what he wanted to. And I think when we grow up in the church, we're like, well, I can never technically say I'm not choosing Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then that's why Jesus says, even this text, mm-hmm. go and do. Mm-hmm. Because we can speak all we want to speak. Mm-hmm. And we can, and yet, what is the overflow? What's really in our heart? And it begins in the heart. But what's the overflow? What's in the heart? It is going to be how I show kindness. Mm-hmm. It's going to be how patient I am. It's going to be how loving I am. It's going to overflow. Mm-hmm. I can't overly manufacture this. And so, you know, the truth is when my interactions with somebody, they are more snippety, rude, mean, disregard, degrading, insulting, picking, complaining. Mm-hmm. That's the overflow of their heart.
Right.
When they come up and say, oh man, I just so appreciate what I saw this the other day, or I appreciate what I see God doing right now, or you know, it's not what I like, but I really like what I see God doing. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, the overflow, I see the other overflow of the heart. Mm-hmm. And in what they are doing and how we speak and how we love each other mm-hmm. is your flow of the real transformational work. Because the big question we're going to ask this week, right, is
your key statement,
which mm-hmm. we're still working on this yeah. one, right? But, you know, like, but we've worked on this like
he's massaging
times.
It. That's
the word. Yes, all right, but we're still massaging it. But, okay. but unless you love others the way God has loved you, we truly have to realize we probably don't love God as much as we think we do. Mm-hmm.
So we need to hear that. But then you're going to have the people that are sitting in your audience that are like, oh my goodness, I yelled at my kids on the way yeah. to church. Do I even love God? Am I Christian? So there's that tension there because this side of eternity.
But that statement alone is a reflection of the love of God in you. Okay. Because the love of God is reflected in humility.
Okay.
If the question goes like this. Oh, yeah, that's a good statement, Pastor David, because you know what? My kids, they're not very loving to me on Sunday mornings. And my husband or my wife, man, she wasn't loving me. And that guy over there was not.
Okay.
That's versus when we go with Spirit of God, have mercy on me. Mm. When we beat our chest like the tax collector did okay. and say, wow, I was really unloving with my kids this morning. What is going on with me and God? Mm-hmm. Good question. Mm-hmm. That's a good place to be. That is a reflection of the Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. kindness. Speaking to us, convicting us, as we're going to come later in John and see this part mm-hmm. of the role of the Holy Spirit we're going to come up with soon. And then us responding to that kindness and that conviction. Okay. And so anybody that would make that statement after a sermon that's hard, and mm-hmm. we have many of them, not just this one, mm-hmm. I would affirm and say, great. Good like, question. Like now you don't want to say, oh, I'm just this terrible, you know, and self-deprecating person, right? And not a Christian, but to say, whoa, am I being like Judas? Mm-hmm. Good question. Mm-hmm. That type of humility is the exact reflection of love that Jesus was showing for us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we forget. Oftentimes, I think we look at the Holy Spirit as controlling or helping us. We talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I always think of that. Oftentimes, I think we talk about that in terms of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. That we violated these divine set of rules that we were supposed to be obedient mm-hmm. to. And the Holy Spirit is to strengthen us and to guide us and give us wise counsel. Mm-hmm. And I know I do. I oftentimes forget that the primary work of the Holy Spirit, it's not what goes on with these, but it's what goes on in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's where
it keeps it keeps my heart in the right place because my hands are going to mess up. Mm-hmm. My mouth is going to mess
up. And that's a just difficult balance because we want to look at fruit. Jesus mm-hmm. tells us to measure fruit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, to measure the overflow of our heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet yet to recognize if I'm asking that question, it shows that there is something God's doing in my heart. That's mm-hmm. good. That's mm-hmm. good.
And there's for me anyway, and I've talked to people that struggle with sin, and what I've tried to provide them is comfort by talking about the fact you are uncomfortable with your sin because the Spirit's convicting your heart. Mm-hmm. And I know you're struggling mm-hmm. and you're having a hard time doing this, but be confident. The Holy Spirit's working right. in your life.
And I guess the day that we are not uncomfortable with our sin is a sad day because then Yeah, that's good.
Because it speaks to our, it speaks to the condition of our heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my timer is flashing at me, guys. And because we have been wrestling through this today, I did not even look ahead. I know we must be in John chapter 14 next week.
Yeah, it'll be the next
number. Is it the whole chapter? Okay.
No, first half.
Just the first half of it. Yes. All right. So, we've had, this has been fun. Thank you guys. I don't know that we've solved any problems, but it's good for us to question, are we willing to love like Jesus loved?
Yeah,
it's a good question.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining us. And so we are going to challenge you next week to read the first half of chapter 14. I believe Parker Robbie will be
bringing or just read the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And then twice, it'll be good.
No, like three times. Like we're setting the bar high.
Even for a couple weeks in a row.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.